announce. There's been a couple of the kids have been held back. I'll talk like they're in school, but like one of them was injured, and another one had some other issues and stuff like that. And so what we've done in an effort to make sure that they all can attend the skate party and stuff like that, we've pushed it back a little bit just to allow for all of them so that they can attend. So that has been postponed, but I think the plan is 2 weeks to give them time to kind of hopefully get back into the place where they're ready to attend that. Keep in mind the prayer requests and the praise reports that are on the back of our prayer requests, as we want to remember everybody in their time of need, and also praise with them. Thank you, Tracy. Also, remember your connection cards. You should have one at your seat. Fill it out and toss it in the offering plate when it passes by. But if you've got a praise report or a prayer request, please fill those out and fill them in. The list continues to grow, so that's a great thing. The women, I'm sorry, okay, the money is due today. So if you need another day or whatever the case is, talk to Tracy, and we'll get that worked out. But the women are going on the 28th of March, so at the end of this month, which is, we're already halfway through practically, so goodness. But anyways, the women are going over by Columbus. They're going to be painting. They're going to see some speakers. I'm sure they're going to be doing some praise and worship and all of that. So it sounds like a good time. So if you're interested in that, make sure you talk to Tracy, and we can arrange the $40 that's due to attend that and stuff like that. So I think that's all we really have in the way of announcements. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me, we're going to get started. And did I miss something? Oh, yes, I did miss something. The prayer meeting, I mentioned before that it was on Thursdays. It works out to move it to Wednesdays, and people are here. If you can't stay for it and you're at Bible study, fine. That's understandable. But we are moving it to Wednesdays, and our next prayer meeting is going to be this Wednesday. And it will take place from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. So I hope to see you there. Yes, Ralph. Okay. If you guys are following our prayer requests and things like that, and Ralph shared a picture, she was in what appeared to be a pretty severe accident. Yeah. And so, it although we've got some things going on there, she was really lucky, in all honesty. So we thank God for that, and if you'll continue to pray for her, I'm sure the family as a whole would appreciate that. So. All right, well, let's pray. Let's sing. I mean, we need to pray, too, but...
How about we pray for you?
Yeah.
We will go ahead and open in prayer because we want to invite the Spirit here. And just say a special prayer request for those who can't be here today. I know there were several that said they were going to be here, and for whatever reason, they're ill or injured. So we'll just lift them in prayer as well. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you that you have brought us all together to worship you and to praise you. We ask that you anoint the lips of Nathaniel as he speaks your word. Lord, we just pray that you will just open the hearts and the minds of each person that's here, and that they just worship you and praise you and give you thanks for all that you do and all you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes. eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Because this is it. All right. Well, let's read our scripture, which comes out of Luke today. Chapter 22, verses 61 and 62. Read along with me. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Amen. Well, let's continue singing with 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love, and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. Time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Yes, I worship Your holy name. Lord, I worship Your holy name.
Take a seat. We're going to take up offering at this time. But I do remember one other thing that I wanted to share with you guys. We didn't put it in the bulletin this week, but it's addressing the Easter service that is coming up. We are going to have a sunrise service, which will include having breakfast at 8 a.m. and then service to follow at 9 a.m. to 10. And so we'll be done by 10 a.m. with our services. There will be no Bible study that week. And so, like I said, it's not in the bulletin, but that is on the horizon. And so we're working the details out of that. We'll have ourselves a nice breakfast and enjoy some time together on that Easter Sunday. So looking forward to that. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time together and the Spirit among us. And so, Father, we just pray that you continue to move and work in 100 ways today. So may we never fail to honor and glorify you for all that is accomplished. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Song, our prayer time, if you will. And I want to ask you guys if you will remember a church. I just heard this weekend, like many churches, you can go ahead and stand. If you'll stand with me as we move into our prayer song. But as we move into our prayer song, I would like to ask you to remember a church that's actually really close to us. Is struggling, like many churches are, financially. But they're really, it's hit them pretty hard. And so if you'll remember that church, I'm not going to name it, because some of you probably know the church, and I don't know if they want that out there, so in respect to them. But please lift them up in prayer along with everybody else. And so let's sing our song. We're going to sing Build My Life.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There's none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Father, we thank you so much for your leading, Father, as you lead us to those that need to hear about the truth in your word and receive an encouraging word or a smile sometimes. And so, Father, as we look to your leading, Father, as we continue in our time together, we just pray that you will continue to move and work in only a way that you can. Father, reach down into our hearts as we look for the truth in your word today. Father, we want to remember the needs that the body of Christ represent, your people. Father, and so we're just praying and believing that you're at work on the behalf of your people today. And so, Father, again, as we move forward with our service, we just pray that you will move and work and bless your people today. Open up the heavens and pour out a special blessing today. We ask this in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, go ahead and take a seat. And we're going to keep moving. Like always, we have a lot of ground to cover. But today, as we continue our trek, if you will, over some of the characters in the Bible, last week, you probably remember us talking about Judas and how important a name is. And we could all probably recall people from our past, maybe growing up, kids that just were labeled troublemakers and maybe never overcome it because you can recall them being labeled whatever that label is, troublemaker, nice person, caring, giving, whatever that label looks like. And so we looked at Judas and how he was labeled as the betrayer, and so how important a name really is. And we were actually having a discussion at work this week and talking about how you can go through life and do so many good things. Do so many good things. And, you know, and maybe over the course of his time with Jesus, Judas did some great things. Maybe he did. And like today's story, we're going to talk about Peter. And he did so many great things. But what happens? You do one thing, and it just seems to stick with somebody through the course of time. And we were actually talking about that a little bit at work today. And, you know, you can do so many good things in your life. Maybe at work, you're just such a hard worker. But one time you fail. And it just never fails. Somebody always can recall that one time that you made that mistake. And that happens over the course of our lives as well. You know, we can do so many great things, but mess up one time, and that sore thumb seems to stick out and get hit through the course of time. And that's okay, you know, because fortunately for you and I, we serve a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. And forgiveness is poured out on you and I and everyone else over the course of time. So thank God for that. But you know, I say all of that to say, well, Peter, we read today's scripture, and Peter is known for a lot of things. Peter is known for a lot of things. But one thing, that one thing that sticks out is the denial of Christ on that time upon the crucifixion. And so he disowns him three times, and the rooster crows, and he goes out, and he knows. He remembers what was said, and he goes out and weeps bitterly. And so the two stories really aren't that far apart. And so we're going to cover that today. And so maybe you'll be surprised at how similar their actions really are. The primary difference between the two is that Judas was definitely intentional. Judas had the intention, maybe not from go, but Judas had the intention of betraying Christ. Okay? And so Peter's denial of Jesus was maybe a personal form of betrayal. And I would say that Judas's betrayal would probably fall in the similar category as well. It was perhaps a little personal, but there was a bigger picture to that. And so the primary difference between the two is that Judas was definitely intentional, and Peter's was not planned. It was not planned. But in the reaction to the events of the arrest, he feared for his life. And so I would say that his was not intentional, but in the moment, in his weakness, in that weakness of the moment, he says, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I just got into town. So he feared for his life. And so at the end of the day, both men were sorry for what they did. We see in today's scripture that 62 says that he went outside and wept bitterly. And so he was sorry for what had taken place. You know, and maybe we find ourselves in that same situation over the course of our lives. Something happens. And maybe we're not denying Christ. But something happens in our lives. And we say, a reaction happens for whatever reason. We may not be fearing for our life, but maybe fearing for the loss of our job, or fearing for the loss of our marriage, or whatever the case is. Whatever the case is, in that moment, we're like, nope, wasn't me. You know, and then after we do that, we're like, what was I thinking? Why didn't I man up? Why didn't I man up and say, you know what? It was me. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. That wasn't the case with Peter, and often, probably in our lives, over the course of our lives, we say, or have the opportunity to say the same thing. And in our weakness, we falter, we fail, and don't say, what really needs to be said. But Judas went out, and he tried to correct it. He went out, he went back to the religious leaders and said, look, he's innocent. Here's the money. Take it back. He tried to correct it, but really was unsuccessful. And he couldn't, and there's a very good chance that forgiveness never came to him. And he eventually went out and committed suicide. Peter's denial, it had no immediate consequences on Christ, per se, on his trial, on Jesus' trial, and things like that, unlike Judas' actions. Judas' actions, he kissed Christ on the cheek, and they ushered him off to be crucified. Peter's, the consequences that followed Peter's weren't quite severe, as severe. And so they didn't have an immediate consequence on things, but led to personal torment. It led to personal torment in Peter's life. And so, you know, again, the same thing happens in our lives. You know, something happens in our lives and we're like, dang on, why did I say or do that? And it torments us. And we all know that Scripture says that Satan is on the prowl looking to kill, steal, and destroy. And so in that moment, we give in and we say, nope, no part of it. That opens the door for Satan to come in and just begin the torment that follows whatever it is, whatever that situation is. And so he has found you in a weak spot, and he will take advantage of that any chance he can get. And so we need to be at our best and putting on that armor, the full armor that God instructs us to do, so that we don't find ourselves in those positions. You know, there's blessings and there's consequences with everything we do in our lives. And at the end of the day, despite how hard it may be, the truth is always the best way. It's always the best way. And so, Peter's relationship with the Lord wasn't restored until after the resurrection. And so if you want to read on that account, we're not really going to hang out there, but if you want to read it's in John 21. And so his relationship isn't restored until after the resurrection. One other thing the two had in common was the tremendous guilt that they felt for their actions. They both felt it. And so we read last week that Judas had betrayed him, and he was so sorrowful. He went back and tried to correct it and give the money back, and eventually the torment got the best of him, and he committed suicide. Fortunately, Peter's story doesn't end that way, but he is stricken with guilt and shame, and the torment just begins to eat away at him. And as I just mentioned, fortunately for Peter, he was restored, and John 21, and Peter goes on to do some great things. He goes on to do some great things. It was their guilt that made them think that they could not have forgiveness. You know, and sometimes, again, we find ourselves wearing the same shoes. You know, we get so down on ourselves, and Satan gets a hold of us and kicks us while we're laying there in our guilt and shame. Relentless, unwilling to give up. But we were also reminded last week that we will not face anything that we cannot overcome through the power of Christ. And so even though we have found ourselves in that position and Satan is just kicking us while we're down, there is a way out. And it's not like Judas. It is not like Judas. Because that is not the way that God wants you to handle your problems. But instead, He wants you to come back into the love that he so willingly shares. The grace, the unending grace of our Savior. That is the way he wants you to come back. Because he has an abundance of it, and he is willing, if you come back and sincerely repent for the transgressions that have taken place in your life, he will forgive. And what does his word say? He will cast them as far as the east is to the west, never to be remembered again. And so, when we find ourselves at the great white throne of judgment, guess what God isn't going to remember? Our transgressions, because we are covered in the blood. Amen? Amen. But Jesus knew this entire situation was under the direction and control of God. Jesus was in tune with God. He knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. And what was going to happen is God was going to be victorious that day. And so we read the words. If you watch the Passion of the Christ, several times in the Passion narratives, we read the words, to fulfill what the Scriptures said. To fulfill what the Scriptures said. And so all of this had to take place for the Scriptures to be fulfilled. It had to. There's things in our day, there's things that are coming that have to take place in order for the Scriptures to be fulfilled. It just has to. That's the way it is. I personally am okay with that, because I rest every day in the comfort of knowing that I am forgiven, I am sanctified and set aside for the use of Christ until the day of his coming, where I will stand before the great white throne judgment and say, thank you, Father. I believe I'm going to heaven. I will rejoice and bask in his presence forever. And we all have that opportunity. We all have the same opportunity, because no one is better than the other in the eyes of God. If we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are on the same level. We are on the same playing field. And that is available to all. And so Jesus knew everything that would lead up to the crucifixion, and he submitted to it. He was willing to submit to it, because he had the big picture. He had the big picture. We often have the little picture, and we can only see a portion of what's coming. And unfortunately, we can't look to the left or to the right and take it all in. We have to walk in faith, believing that God has the best intentions for our lives. He says that he has a plan and a purpose for us, and we have to believe that. And we have to walk knowing that he's going to provide. He's going to provide that way. And so out of his love for us and his obedience to the Father, he submitted to what was coming. And so a little bit of background on Peter. Peter was a Galilean, one of the earliest chosen to follow Christ. It was right after his baptism that Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. It was there on the shores of Galilee that Peter would give up his fishing business, because Jesus called out to him and said, come on, let me make you a fisher of men. And he's given you that call too. We were all given that call. The Great Commission was not just for a few. It was not just for a few. We are all called to go out and share the love of Christ, the gospel, the truth in it, all of it. We all have that call. And God has put a plan and a purpose in our lives that we can be effective in sharing that. It's up to you to search it out and see where God's leading you. That's your job. But Jesus said, come on, let me make you a fisher of men. Let's do this. He would be seen as the leader of the apostles on so many occasions and was often kind of their spokesperson, if you will. Next to Paul, Peter may arguably be the most influential apostle. Peter would become part of the inner circle along with James and John, and they would be present. They would be present on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were asked to follow Jesus deeper. They were asked to follow Jesus deeper. And that same request has gone out to you. You know, I feel like God, I don't know what this looks like yet, and so I'm seeking God on some clarification, because I don't know if it's something that He wants me, He wants me to focus on it individually, or if He's kind of like putting something together for a later time, maybe to share with you guys or maybe challenge you guys on. I don't know what it looks like yet. But for some time, I feel like God is putting on my heart, level up. Level up. And I don't know what that looks like yet. And so if you would, pray with me. Pray with me on that. But I think God is calling each and every one of us to level up. And He wants our relationship like theirs, deeper. Asked to follow Jesus deeper. And I believe that is something God wants for each and every one of us. And so, again, I don't know what that looks like, but I feel like I believe that God wants us all to level up. And so take our relationship to the next level. And so that would look different for each and every one of us. It would, because most of us are at different points, at different levels, if you will, in our walk with Christ. But I believe that God wants us to level up, to go deeper into our relationship. And so Peter would eventually say in John 13:37, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. I will lay down my life for you. Some people may truly be able to say these words and mean it. There are people out there that can say, you know what? I'm in for the long haul. Let's go. But Peter falls into the category of people that may still belong to today. Kind of people like you and I. Now, I can't tell you how many times, it wasn't a large number, but regardless, I remember telling God, I'm like, man, I'm in it for the long haul, let's go. And then, I'm kind of like, yeah, I'll lay my life down for you. And then I pick it back up. And then I travel a little bit. And then I kind of find myself back in that position. I'm like, I lay my life down. And then some time goes by and I pick it back up again. I'll admit it. You know, I've seen that take place in my life, in my walk with Christ. Thank you, Tracy. I'm up here admitting it. I don't need seconds on that. But it's true. You know, there's many of us through the course of our relationship with God that we're just like, yes. You know, maybe we went away for a spiritual weekend. Or, you know, kind of. I'm not saying you do it. I'm just saying you went away for a spiritual weekend. You went on the Emmaus Walk. And at the end of the Emmaus Walk, you're fired up, aren't you? You're fired up. You're ready to go. You're like, where's the battle, Lord? Put me in. I'm ready to fight. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. What do they call those? The 4th days. The 4th days. Yeah. I just left. Leave me alone. You know, and they call those the fourth days because, I mean, the women are going off to the thing on the 28th. You know, you're going to spend a weekend or a day, rather, with the ladies. And I'm sure you're going to sing some songs and hear a great speaker and do some painting. And then you're just like, I feel refreshed. And then you walk out the door and you're just like, oh, what hit me? It happens. It happens, you know, and you know, camp. I mean, it just happens, and you know, and it happens in our walk, and maybe not, you know, maybe not at the end of a day or end of 3 days or whatever it is, but you'll spend a season of your time, and you're just like, yeah, you're just like, you're walking on clouds, and you feel like God's really moving in your life, and the battles are being won, and then that day comes. That day comes, and you're just like, boo, somebody dropped a load of bricks on you or something. You're just like, what happened? And then you pick your life back up. You're like, yeah, I'll be ready to fight again soon, Lord. It happens. And so they were in, and they were called, and you know, and God's calling them to go deeper, just like I believe He is you and I today. He's calling us to come in a little deeper. If you can't swim, it's okay. He's got the perfect flotation device for you, and you are not going to drown. Promise. And so, like Peter, like us, we fall into that category, you know. The category that speaks of how they would like to be. Because we can sit here and talk about how we would like to be the warrior of Christ all day long. But at the end of the day, that warrior fails to shine sometimes. It just fails to shine sometimes. God isn't going to kick you down for it. Because He knows. He knows we're going to have days like that. And Scripture reminds us that we are going to fall short of the glory of God. We're going to fail sometimes. It happens. But here's the coolest thing about it. We don't have to stay there, first of all. Because God's love, forgiveness, grace abounds all. And we are forgiven. And He's calling us. Yeah, you made a mistake, but stand back up. There's still more fight left in you. Let's go. That's what He's saying today. It doesn't matter. You fell short, but we still have ground to make up. Let's go. And so, in reality, we all fall short of the mark. We do. The best time to be a Christian is when? Right here. Right now, on Sunday, it's the best time to be a Christian. Why? Well, because we come in here, we sing the songs of praises, we enjoy a Sunday service, we get into God's Word. We aren't likely going to face challenges here. On occasion, but we aren't likely to face challenges here. We pray. Just share in fellowship and enjoy somebody's company. It's a great time to be a Christian when we're sitting inside these doors. That's not to say that Satan isn't going to challenge you in some way, shape, or form, because I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will. But it's a great day. And so Peter was in the presence of Jesus and the disciples when he made these statements. It can become difficult to live for Christ in the day-to-day world. We face challenges at work. We face challenges from our family, from the society as a whole. And sometimes the easiest way to deal with those temptations that they bring is to simply say, I don't know. It's easy just to say, good question, I don't know, and move on. Maybe somebody comes and challenges your faith. You just, well, I don't know. You know, keep moving. Maybe somebody comes in and challenges something like Peter does, and you're like, nope. I don't want no part of that. Maybe you've got somebody that's at work that's an atheist, or somebody that's on the brink of maybe believing, and they challenge you on something. God tells us to be ready to give an account. And so, if we're putting on the full armor, the full armor, if we're in the Word, making sure that the Word is fresh in our minds, when we come across somebody that wants to challenge us, maybe just, hey, I've got a question. If you're not in the Word, you're probably not going to have the answer. Amen? And so, we need to be in the Word, growing, leveling up, so that when somebody comes to us, we could make the difference. We could be make or break for them. We could be make or break for them. Who knows? And so we always need to be at our best. And if we are in Christ, we can be at our best. And so, living our lives day to day, living in Christ, giving Him the steering wheel of our life, following along, sitting in the back seat, which I don't do very well, but I do it. Not necessarily with Christ, but I was just talking about in the car in general. But just giving the wheel to God and saying, here you go, God. Lead the way. And so it can be difficult sometimes. It can be difficult sometimes. And so sometimes the easiest way is just say, I don't know. When in fact you know you should take a stand. People came from miles around to hear Jesus teach and receive healings in his day. Jesus was received warmly and positively by most crowds. He had his opposers. But overall, Jesus was warmly greeted. Overall. And so were Peter and the other disciples who followed him. Now they would have to stand on their own in a very hostile atmosphere, and they were very scared. Because if you recall, when they went and locked themselves in the upper room, Christ had been crucified, and they were scared. And they gathered in the upper room. And so now they felt like they had to fight this huge battle on their own. And sometimes we feel like that too in our day-to-day walk. Sometimes we feel like we have this big battle in front of us, and we have to fight it on our own. But that is not the case. God is always making a way in our lives. He's a way maker. Amen? And so, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus then goes into the garden, and in the one scripture that, you know what, I think I actually skipped over that one. I think I forgot to mention it. But Jesus goes into the garden. If you recall, Peter and John went into the garden, and Jesus asked him to pray. He's like, pray with me, because Jesus knew what was coming, the challenge that was coming, what he, Christ, had to submit to. He knew what was coming. And so Jesus says, pray with me. Pray with me. And on several occasions, Jesus kind of goes off to himself. He goes a little further after he asks them to pray with him a little bit. And on separate occasions, he comes back and finds them sleeping. Jesus is probably facing the most difficult thing in his life. And he's calling them to pray with him. And on separate occasions, he comes and goes. and finds them sleeping when he's need when they're needed the most. And so they should have been able to tell him from his demeanor and his appearance that there was a great spiritual battle taking place. And they needed to support Jesus. Mark 14:41 says, "Returning the third time, he said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners.'" And so many times Jesus said to them, "My hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come." Tonight, those words were different. And so he took them into the garden and asked them to pray with him because the time was coming. And on several occasions, back and forth, Jesus came and they were sleeping, not knowing what was coming. And so the hour may be coming for you in your life. You may be facing a battle. Maybe you're not aware of it. Much like the disciples weren't aware of what was coming in the life of Jesus that night. And so we need to be at our best so that when that battle comes, we're prepared for it. And that battle came, and what did they do? They were scared. They thought they had to face the world on their own, and they retreated to the upper room. Scared. And so when that battle comes in your life, whatever it looks like, you can take confidence in knowing that you have the Savior on your side. And He is a way maker. And so that night it was different. And the next event on this night was the arrest of Jesus. There was a large crowd coming in and arresting Jesus. Judas betrayed him with a kiss, and he was arrested. He was arrested. It is at this point that John's account tells us that Peter draws his sword. Peter draws his sword that night and slices an ear off. He slices an ear off of the servant of the high priest, and Jesus immediately heals the fella. Jesus immediately heals him. And Jesus is taken before the Sanhedrin to face charges of blasphemy. It is here that Peter's denial takes place. It is here that Peter's denial takes place. Arrests during Jesus' time were brutal. They were brutal. There were more than 50 temple guards involved, plus some of the Roman soldiers and many onlookers. He would be kicked, punched, pushed down. I mean, just think for just a moment. Only because it kind of draws things in for us just a little bit. But think about this. Maybe your mom or your dad, I guess maybe a good representation of this would be maybe your dad, for instance. Your dad's arrested. He's bound up. And they're taking him in for trial. He ain't being put in the typical police car. They're going to bound him and they're going to walk him through town. And during this time, they're on the way to the courthouse. And they start tripping him and kicking him and punching him. Could you imagine what that would feel like? It'd be horrible, wouldn't it? That's what the disciples were facing that night. Somebody that they had spent so much time with, that they had seen perform these wonderful miracles, shed out just tons of love and acceptance into them, just drawing them in, much like your parents do in your life. And then one night, a crowd of people just come and take them away and just mistreat them in horrible ways. That's what happened that night. It was horrible. But Peter stayed in the background of all this. He would see and hear it all. Peter wants to know what they are doing with Jesus, so he stays close, but not too close. But he also don't want to draw attention to himself. He tries to hide, blending in with the crowd, warms himself by the fire. Men with no doubt that were involved with the arrest of Jesus. A servant girl recognizes him. You know, we all know the story. He's recognized on multiple occasions. And then this takes place. The denial. The crowing of the rooster and all of that. And so what Jesus said took place in 62 tells us exactly how he feels. Because in that moment he realizes that he should have taken a stand, but he didn't. And he's consumed with shame and guilt, and so he weeps bitterly. He weeps bitterly. And so real quick, I know we're running short on time here. Real quick, two things that made Peter stand out. The incident with the ear, okay? He was consumed with saving Christ that he lashed out. That's not something we have to do. That's not something we have to do. If somebody is criticizing us in our walk with Christ or just the church or whatever it looks like, it can look like many different things. We don't have to lash out. We don't have to lash out. The second thing, the fact that Peter was a Galilean. Galilean had an accent that people recognized. And so that was likely one thing that kind of gave him away that night as well. And so a couple things to learn from the denial. There is remorse, but no repentance. He was consumed with remorse. Peter remembered the words that Jesus spoke to him at the Last Supper. He broke down and wept bitterly. None of the gospel accounts speak of a confession of sin asking for forgiveness. In John 21, there are three times where Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" The interesting thing is that in this passage, as he refers to Peter as Simon, the son of John. Okay? In John 21:19, Jesus said, "This is to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God." Then he said to him, "Follow me." And so he was restored in John 21. And again, he says to him, "Follow me. Follow me." Jesus said this to indicate the death in which he would suffer. Peter got in trouble when he stopped praying. Three times Jesus asked him to pray in the garden. Three times Jesus asked him to pray in the garden. When we stop praying, we act out on our own power. Because if we are not communicating with God, then we're moving on our own accord. Amen? Because we gain our insight and our guidance from God. And so when we start talking to God, or excuse me, when we stop talking to God, we're moving on our own accord. Peter got in trouble because he followed at a distance. Once you stop talking to Jesus, it will not be long until you stop walking with Jesus. It is imperative that we keep in contact with God, that we continue to grow our relationship. Because if we stop talking with Jesus, we eventually stop walking with him. And we find ourselves in all sorts of trouble at that point. And so when you stop talking to Jesus and walking with Jesus, you soon start dwelling on the things of this world. And Scripture reminds us that we are not to conform to the ways of this world. We are not. And so it is of utmost importance that we maintain, that we keep in constant contact with Christ. Amen? That we build that relationship. So I want to leave you with this thought. Maybe you have been labeled Maybe it even sticks with you yet today. Because sometimes when you get labeled with a name, it tends to follow you. Maybe you've made a mistake in your life. Maybe much like Peter did or Judas. Whatever that mistake looks like. It doesn't have to haunt you. It doesn't have to follow you your entire life. Because like God's word says, once we give it to Christ and we are forgiven, He is faithful and just, and He will cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And so I want to encourage you today that if you have made a mistake in your life at some point, if you have wandered away in your relationship with Christ, if you have stopped talking to Him, and maybe even walking with Him, He is there, much like the prodigal son, waiting with open arms, ready to receive you back into His care and forgiveness. And so if something is chasing you in some way, don't let it. Don't let it. Because He's ready and willing to pick you back up and move you on to higher ground. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. We've got a good Father in. And because that is exactly what He is. He is a good Father. Amen? Amen. Well, sing with me as we sing ourselves out.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper.
Thank you guys for being with us. Go in his power, be blessed, and be a blessing. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.